Welcome to another edition of Self Evident. My name is Jenna, and with me today is
Kenna Rose.
And today we are at the Illinois Christian Home Educators Convention. So that is all of the backgrounds that you hear. We have a whole bunch of homeschoolers from all across Illinois and even people from Wisconsin and Indiana who come together to be encouraged and to look at new curriculum and learn about all of these different organizations that will help them in their homeschooling journey. So today we are really, really excited because if you don't know, Self-Evident, we have a weekly radio spot on WPEO on the program The Good Word, which is hosted by Paul Scott. And so today, we have the very same host with us today in person. So thank you so much, Paul Scott, for coming on to Self-Evident.
You're welcome. I'm a little nervous now. I'm on the other side, as you said.
The tables have turned.
And the nice part, though, is that it's not recorded live. So you can say anything you want, and we can cut it out.
As opposed to radio, where we're scrambling, we're like, okay, that cannot be said.
Everybody just heard that. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why I love radio, is it's live, and once it's out there, it's out there. So in some ways, I have to be at my best. I have to be better than, and I think it does force me to be a little bit better and to pay more attention to what I'm saying.
Does that help you off of the air as well?
No.
I
have to always watch what it is that I'm saying and guard my tongue because I can be prone to be very sarcastic and biting, right?
That's true.
And I need to be careful that I am not like that on the radio, and I need to be careful that I'm not like that in the office after I get off the air or when I'm at home. You know, it's the taming the tongue, as James tells us, we got to do it.
100%. It's a good reminder, and it's cool how the things we do for work and just other things like that can help us just in our daily interactions with other people. But I know you've mentioned a couple times on air that you used to be a public school teacher. So we were kind of curious, how did you move from teaching at public school to hosting a radio show?
Well, it's kind of a long story. So since this is a podcast, you can edit out the stuff you don't want to hear. but I started at the station I'm at today, WPEO in Peoria, back in 1990 as a high school, after my junior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's back before there was automation. We had to have people there. If the station was on the air, we had to have a person there, right? So I was what we called at the time a weekender. I came in and ran the station on Saturdays. I did not have an on-air position. I pushed buttons and played tapes.
You were behind the scenes.
I was behind the scenes.
The man in the chair.
Yeah, I was the man in the chair. Thank you.
Man behind the curtain, under laws.
Yes, exactly.
I left that job to go to college thinking I would never be back. So let's fast forward. I got a degree in broadcasting, and I realized that news broadcasting was not for me. So I did many other things, and then I landed eventually as a public school teacher. I taught fourth grade in Washington, and I was very good at it.
That is so fascinating. So you initially were going to be going into radio, and then you switched to public school.
I started in television after college.
Wow.
And while I was very good at the on-air stuff, it was everything else I hated about it. The news media, I understand why people hate it. Because I felt that pressure when I was in it, right? And there was a little bit of the, you know, you stand in front of one of my favorite cartoons about the news business was this guy standing in front of a dartboard holding a dart, and there's all of the issues of the day and other things that aren't necessarily issues of the day. And the caption is, which one will I be an expert in today?
Wow.
And he's throwing the dart at the board, right? And just due to the nature of broadcast news, it doesn't always allow for good in-depth treatment.
When you were on TV, you were an anchor?
I was an anchor and a reporter.
Okay. So did you write your own scripts as a news anchor?
Yes, I did. And there were frequent intense discussions with producers about why I would choose certain wording. They did not want me to use the word pro-life. They said it's anti-abortion. And I'm like, excuse me?
Wow.
I said if we are going to call pro-lifers anti-abortion about what they are against, then I think we should call the pro-choice people anti-life.
Yeah,
that's so true. Yeah.
And then honestly, that was kind of the end of the discussion. And they're like, oh, you're right.
Yeah, because...
So if you're going to call them pro-choice, we have to use the same verbiage to say pro-life. Now, today, I would not say pro-choice. I would say pro-abortion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we find out is that the pro-abortion crowd is really anti-choice.
Yeah.
They don't want women to have a
choice.
They
just want to eliminate the choice.
Yes. And I don't know why they hate babies so much, but... And I don't want to... That's not the purpose of this conversation, is it? Edit that
well,
out.
We can go into it. We can absolutely go into it.
But
it's okay. We like to go down rabbit trails, so...
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yes, we've found this out. How long did you teach fourth grade?
I taught for 10 years. I got my master's during that time. I was qualified to become a principal, and I almost did a few times. But as things would happen, coming in second place, you're the first loser. Right.
My sister says that. She's so insistent about it. She's like, second place is just first loser.
And that's okay, because obviously they didn't think I was the guy for the job. But then after a while, things began to happen in Illinois education. That case from upstate Illinois where a girl in high school or a boy in high school wanted to use a girl's locker room, and the Obama administration Justice Department took that up as a civil rights case.
So this is year 2009, 2010, maybe?
All of those things are... I started teaching in 08. Okay. And so I'm observing all of those things happen.
Gotcha.
And I can see where it's going. And I realize that this is probably things I'm going to have to deal with. I don't... At the time, I didn't want to get out. Because I was like, look, somebody's got to stand up for what's right. It's just, as it turned out, I never got the job or the opportunity to do that. And so then in 2017, I'm teaching fourth grade still, and there's a little third grade boy in our district who wanted to use the girls' bathroom. And it was kind of causing a fuss, right? It was in the media, and I knew who the student was. I wasn't supposed to. It was supposed to be, nobody was supposed to know, but I knew. It was an open secret. I went to my principal, and I said, look, he's coming to this grade. He will go into the girls' bathroom over my dead body. And
good for you.
And I said it just like that.
Good for you.
And my principal at the time looked at me, and he said, Paul, I agree with you, but I want to keep my job.
Oh.
There's a word for that. It's called compromise.
It's called cowardice.
Well, that too. Compromising on the truth isn't something I'm willing to do. At least I wasn't at the time. I'm not going to say there haven't been other times in my life when I was when I wimped out. And,
yeah, human nature is, yeah. We will all fall, but the righteous man falls 7 and gets up 8.
My preference, though, is to stand.
Amen.
Okay, that's my 100%. Preference. I'm not perfect, but that, you know, it's the goal. Other things started to become evident that I really probably was never going to become an administrator. Mm. But I saw him coming. The writing was on the wall. I know the discipline system for teachers in a district, and, you know, school would have started on or about August 15th.
Okay.
I would have said, no, you can't do this. The next thing you know, I'm being disciplined.
Wow.
I refuse to comply. I'm going to be suspended. I refuse to comply. The next step after that is you are fired. So I would have been fired probably at the October board meeting.
Oh, man.
And I had 3 children in high school, and to be honest, I just wasn't up for the fight.
Right.
On April 17th of 2017, no, it was March 17th, I walked out of my classroom for the very last time. I said goodbye to my students. They all cried. Half of them cried.
Aww.
And I said, I love you anyway. And I started a mowing business.
That is so fascinating.
Is that why for the longest time you had the advertisement for that trophy lawn care company?
No, that wasn't my company. That was somebody else's, that friend that
you
I
You just
met.
Have a special place in your heart for mowing companies.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
It really, yeah, touches, like, gives sympathy.
But I had been cutting grass on the side since 2007.
Wow.
And I was like, hey, I'm good at this. I have a pretty good customer base. I'm already making 50% as much money mowing as I was teaching. So in 2017, I walked out of my classroom for the last time. I cut grass full-time for, 3 full years. And at the end of that third summer, my body began to break down. I tried to expand my business into other areas, and my body just said no. The writing was on the wall, really, by the middle of July in 2020. Through just a series of, well, thanks to COVID,
yeah.
Honestly, I was able to reconnect with the station that I'm at and the general manager there. Still the same guy.
That is so amazing.
And we had kept in touch, you know, off and on. And so I took that temporary job back at the radio station. At the end of that, Bob came to me and he said, have you ever considered coming back to the station? I'm retiring at the end of this year. And I said, no. And I said, Bob, I've got a plan. I've got the people and the equipment to make my business go, but I'll make you a deal. If it doesn't go and I get to the end of the season and I don't have enough money to get through the winter for my family, we'll talk. Well, the writing was on the wall by the middle of July when I was sleeping 2 to 3 hours a night and just so much pain everywhere all the time. And I called him up in early August, or maybe it was the end of July, and I said, so what were you thinking again? And I started at WPEO on October 19th of 2020. As the general manager.
That's actually kind of neat and incredible. The saddest part, too, about leaving, the way you had to leave the public school, to me, is that the principal agreed with you, and yet he didn't want to lose his job.
It's not the first time that I took a career move, made a career move like that. In my second broadcast news job out of college, I was the weekend producer for a TV station in Peoria, and I won't name it, but... anyway, and they wanted to run a program on a Saturday during prom season. Now, the year prior, I saw this story when I was working for a competitor, and I thought, that's a dumb story, okay? Here's what it was. It's prom season, right? There was a boy in Bloomington Normal, in the big, I don't know if it was Bloomington 87 or Unit 4, but he wanted to go to prom with his boyfriend. Would have been a same-sex couple at school prom, and the young man was like, I don't know, I don't want to go there, and I'm too self-conscious, right? I'll be ostracized, etc., etc., etc. So his mother went out, rented a ballroom, hired a photographer, hired a DJ, and called the TV station.
Hold on.
You see the disconnect,
yes,
right?
Yes, 100%.
Too self-conscious to actually go and be one of the guys, but I'm going to call a TV station. And I realized when I saw that story, that would have been in the spring of 97, I was like, this is a stunt.
Oh, and 100%.
And the TV station is their tool.
Yeah.
All right? And the TV station, when you're in broadcast news, the dog bites man is not a story. Unless dog bites child. The story is man bites dog.
Really?
So they want the things that are interesting, peculiar, new,
rebelling against the system.
Yes, things like that are what set news producers and reporters off.
Gotcha.
No matter how depraved it is, they don't care about that. Because
it needs to be interesting and get the public to notice type of deal.
Is it a shock factor as well?
Yes, there's a little bit of it, because ratings, right?
Right.
They want ratings. And they want people watching the news sometimes going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that. Or yay, go you, whatever. You
right.
Know? So brave. So stunning.
So brave.
So beautiful.
Yeah. So that came around again in the spring of 19. Now, this time, I'm the producer at that station. And the same reporter went and got the same exact story. And I said, no, thanks. I don't want it. And let me tell you, the fan blew up on Monday.
Wow.
Monday was my day off. And I got a phone call, Paul, I want you in my office at 12 o'clock. I think it was Wednesday. There was a good long session there. I got yelled at a lot. My job was threatened. We came to an agreement. Rusty said, if that comes up again, will you please call me and let me make the decision? And at the time, I was like, okay, that's reasonable because you're my boss, and I want to be a good employee and do what I'm told. But if I get the freedom, the answer is no. I'm not going to be anybody's stooge or as a news person, and I'm certainly not here to give a platform for
depravity basically,
and wickedness.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
Unless I can call it out as depravity and wickedness.
That's fair. That is very
true. And that definitely would have gotten me fired.
And so that is why it's so great that you have that your program now, where you're able to call things out and be like, yes, I am showing you guys this is happening in the world, but also here's what the scripture says about it.
To do that, I still have to be careful, right?
Right.
Because I don't want to talk about, you know, Pride Month, by the time this thing hits, this is probably going to come out during Pride Month.
Yes.
Okay. It could be very easy to point fingers and get people riled up and talk about those evil people.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy. And I still, when we talk about these things on my program, it's too easy to just go there in our hearts and our minds and our emotions to get all riled up. It's easy for me to do. And I've done it before on the air, and I was like, well, I gotta fix that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to not do that, but yet speak the truth in love.
And that's why we start at Self-Evident. That's our motto.
Yeah, we started it with the goal of speaking truths that were once self-evident, but doing it in love, because it's like you were saying, so easy to do these things and get so upset and angry about it as we're talking about it, when we really do need to be doing it in a manner that honors the Lord, and because we're witness in how we speak and how we share. So grace is important.
And so using humor and sarcasm, I don't think is necessarily off limits.
No.
But we do have to be careful.
Right. Do you think radio or podcast, like which one do you think more people listen to nowadays?
Oh, the research shows more people listen to radio.
Yeah.
There's research out there, and it's a little closer than it used to be, but the overwhelming number of listeners belong in radio.
That's
right?
Really crazy, because I would have thought it would be opposite just due to the sheer number of podcasts that have come out.
One of the things about podcasting that is, it as an industry, podcasting is slowing down in growth, okay? And it might even be contracting at this point. Several years ago, I was at a workshop, and they talked about just the exponential growth in the number of podcasts. Yeah. And at the time, so this would have been 2021, 8 out of every, like, 9 podcasts were Christian podcasts.
Wow.
It was insane, right?
That is incredible.
Because, well, think about it. All you need is a computer that can record audio, and you can create a podcast.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's any good or that anybody's going to listen. And so
today, the resources are there.
What's that?
I said the resources are there.
The ability to do it is there. Right. Right? And so anybody who has an axe to grind or thinks they have something to say can do it.
Right.
Now, what many of those people are finding out is nobody cares what you think.
That's fair.
Right?
Yes, it is.
And or because in order to get a listener base, A, it helps to have people who want to hear what you have to say. You have to – there has to be something there to draw them in, right? The production quality has to be very good. And what you find on the podcasts that are the most successful – is they sure sound a lot like radio. The only difference between good radio and a good podcast is the time. In radio,
gotcha.
I am a slave to the clock. My program starts at 7:06, whatever, every day, and it ends at 7:58:42. So that, in my mind, that's the biggest difference. In podcasting, you don't have time limits, and you can go back and edit it, and there's technology today within the podcast world where it will create a transcript immediately. You can read the transcript and realize, oh, I made a mistake. Go in and change the text, and the AI will change the audio and use your voice to say the new text.
That's terrifying, but also kind of cool.
I'm going to be using this in the future.
That's a good use of AI.
Yeah. So this may be AI right now. If you guys are listening, this entire interview is AI generated.
You'll never know what's true or what's false.
And that's one of the things
AI.
That is scary. And there may come a time when in podcasting, you have to put a disclaimer on there. AI was used in the creation of some of this podcast, or there is no AI involved. And this is something you need to be aware of, too, is people could go download my podcast off, and it will sound like me, and it's not me.
Mm-hmm. There have already been some stories of that happening with some celebrities.
Which is why we record everything that goes on the air, and so that if somebody accuses me of saying something I did not, I can go, here you go. Oh, look, I did say that. or no, I did not.
So as we wrap this interview up, I really would like to know what books or even maybe pieces of advice have shaped your life. And what advice do you have for us as Generation Z that you wish that you had heard?
The number one book that you should read to shape your life, your thinking, is the Bible.
100%.
Okay. When I think back to my college days, right, that was a time in my life where if we're going to measure spiritual growth in terms of change, right, from point A to point B, I can honestly say that my growth rate in my first few years of college was as intense as ever.
Really?
Because I went to a private university, but it was not a Christian school. I was challenged in a lot of my classes, and so I found myself oftentimes in the student center in one of the study rooms with my Bible. What does God's Word say about this? Yes, the Bible is very formative. It should be formative. Not that there aren't other things that we can read to help us understand or think more deeply about things. One of my favorite things today is when I read research, you know, secular research that confirms biblical things, principles. You know, there's plenty of secular research that says talks about what it takes to make a strong marriage. And what do you know? It all kind of lines up with, you know, things that the Apostle Paul says.
Wow. You know, science is like God's word is true.
There's a lot of social science research that does that, okay? Mm-hmm. And to me, that is fun to read. We don't need it.
No.
We don't need it.
It's very cool the way science does back up Scripture.
But, you know, for some people who are, and I tend to be very pragmatic, right? When I hear that, I'm like, of course it does, right? Mm-hmm. Or I should probably consider that. Because there have been times when I was like, oh. And then as I think about it, oh, yeah, that does kind of line up with God's word more. And just, for example, one of those things in my life has been home education. You know, we sent our kids to a government school. Worked double time to, you know, I taught in a government school, so I kind of know the system and the values there. But we worked double time to make sure that our children could recognize and understand these things. Mm-hmm. So as important as I think home education is, if you're going to send your kids to the public school, just know that you've got to be on the ball. What are your friends talking about? What do your friends think about this? And that'll really tell you what your kid thinks. And then you need to work to straighten that out. And I do think within home education, parents can fall into the trap of not exposing their children to any of the world's thinking. And then one day their kid's like, what?
Yeah, right. And being able to have a framework to think through these things, too, where sometimes when they're not exposed to any of it, then they don't have it. When they are, there's no framework by which to then go, okay, well, how does this connect? What is happening here?
Even if there's a conscience issue with the kid, they still have not, their conscience has not been informed. And that's a huge part of what I believe parents are called to do, especially as believers, is to inform the conscience of their children. Any advice for Generation Z? Other, just read your Bible?
Honey, I'm going to bring my wife into this. She's over there listening. The question is there what advice? The first question was, what book would you recommend Gen Z read? I mean, well, the Bible, of course. Next question is, what other life advice would you give? Put down your phone.
I'm so sorry.
Put down. You had your phone out. Okay. Put. So, you know what? I would say be very careful about the amount of technology in your life.
Got it.
That's actually really good advice.
It is addictive. These little devices. And the people who make them know that.
They don't let their kids use them.
A lot of them don't.
A lot of the people who work on developing those programs don't either.
See, they know how addictive it is and how it affects the brain. And there's research out there now, believe it or not, if you dig in, you'll find it. There's research that suggests using this technology, these apps that are addictive, will actually change your brain physically.
Mm-hmm. I've done some writing on that for IFI, specifically with regards to social media. But, yeah, it changes areas in your brain that are connected to, like, the type of sugar rush feeling or adrenaline.
Dopamine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's addictive.
But, yeah.
Well, now that we have your wife here, what do you think?
My wife's name is Paula.
What advice would you give to Generation Z?
I would tell you not to follow the crowd, but to think for yourself. There's a lot of, like, pack mentality, so whatever everybody else my age is doing, that's what I'm going to do, that's what I'm going to believe, that's what I'm going to say. And so that would be my advice, to figure it out for yourself and stand up for yourself and don't follow the crowd.
And we even,
you're not always right.
And we even told our children that. I'm like, look, if you see everybody going that direction and you know enough about their character and whether or not they want to follow Jesus, you should probably be going the other way. And we said that often, and now they're all out of the house. It's up to them to live it.
Amen.
We also said that in relation to finding your spouse, that if you are on your way and you're searching for the Lord for yourself, and you see someone else who is doing the same thing and doing what they can to search and find the Lord, grab them and walk along together. Maybe something will come from it. But, yeah.
And don't worry 100% about compatibility. I mean, seriously. My wife and I are not compatible at all. We used to think we are, but we've been married almost 30 years now. It's like, oh, man, we're different.
Like,
but you know what? We're
on average.
Yes.
Person is boy.
But we're, I mean, I think our marriage is stronger than it's ever been, despite our increasing differences or whatever. But, you know, just, you'll figure it out. But you got to be willing to deny yourself.
Thank you so much for that advice. You guys, it was incredible talking with you and getting advice about for the next generation.
I always have things to say. What's next? Anyway, ladies, thank you so much for your commitment to speaking truth in love. I really appreciate the fact that at least two of you are available every Friday morning for my show. I'm going to put a plug in, WPEO.com. On Fridays, you can stream it. It starts at 7:05. Ladies always join me by about 7:10. If you want to skip the devotion on God's word, okay.
You heathens.
That's, yeah, you filthy heathens.
Shame on you.
You should listen. But
listen and read the word of God, people.
There's the sarcasm coming out. But I appreciate your commitment to doing that with us. And my listeners love it.
Thank you so much for joining us. It was awesome to being on the other side of questioning. And, well, we'll see you next Friday.
Looking forward to it.
Yes. And until we meet again, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. And this is Self-Evident.